This podcast of the Weekend Stakes Preview is brought to you by Barbados Tourism. The Weekend Stakes Preview starts in just 15 seconds after this word from our podcast sponsor.
If you've been waiting to discover that spot where peace of mind meets the time of your life, then it sounds like you've been waiting on Barbados. From the majesty of horse racing and polo to the thrill of surfing our playful waves, visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages.
Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's Echo Zulu, rolling into the quarter pole. Favorite Sequest End, Burner Breezy is last. It's Echo Zulu after three quarters and 1:11.70. Echo Zulu charging hidden connection. Favorite toward the inside as Turnaloose has dropped back. There's one furlong to go. It's Echo Zulu who leads against the inside for Joel Rosario. Hidden connection trying hard on the outside. Favors third. They're close to home. It's Echo Zulu. Hidden connection on the outside. Echo Zulu and Hidden Connection. Photo finish in the Fairgrounds Oaks. A nose between Echo Zulu looking to remain undefeated and Hidden Connection tested the champion all the way in the Fairgrounds Oaks.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. I'm Bobby Newman along with Dave Friedman. We've got a dozen races from around North America to talk about tonight, Dave. And we're back on the Derby trail with big points qualifiers in Louisiana, in Kentucky, and in New Mexico.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like the Derby is coming. We're 6 weeks away. The primary preps are here. Horses and trainers and owners and jockeys are maneuvering. And this weekend we'll offer some more clarification on the Derby picture. The sun is out in a lot of the country. This is a fun time of year, and we've got some really good racing.
Well, the marquee event at Fairgrounds every year is the Louisiana Derby. And whenever it's Louisiana Derby Day, they just have a plethora of great stakes action up and down their card. And that's what we're going to find tomorrow at Fairgrounds. Several stakes on the card, four of which are graded stakes. And we're going to look at all four of those races tonight, starting with race number nine. This starts is part of an all stakes pick five. It's part of a Bayou Bluegrass pick five as well, and starts four consecutive graded stakes on the card. This is the grade two New Orleans Classic for 4-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth on the main track. We've got a nice field of eight going to post here, Dave, and no doubt about it, the favorite is going to be the Pegasus winner, Art Collector.
If Art Collector repeats the race we saw at the end of January, Art Collector is going to be in the winner's circle. I think it's well documented. I don't like Art Collector. I don't trust the horse. I don't think Art Collector has beaten great horses. The race at Gulfstream to begin this 6-year-old campaign was far and away the best I've ever seen Art Collector run. And Bill Mott made note of maybe a minor injury, finally getting healthy. If Art Collector is healthy and that's the horse we're going to see this year, Art Collector might be the best horse we have in the country. I'm still not going to go in at 8-5. I think that's kind of a crazy price for a horse who has kind of consistently won lesser races. But I understand why someone would like Art Collector. The speed, the last performance, and at Art Collector's best, Art Collector is better than anyone else in here. The two grade one wins are the two best wins that any of these eight horses have. The logical other option here is West Willpower for Brad Cox and Flavian Pratt. The race to begin this year was, I think, good, maybe very good, not great, a second place performance as the favorite in the Razorback at Oaklawn. I wonder if we could get Art Collector and West Willpower kind of going at each other. And I was kind of eager to try to find something off the pace. I think Pioneer of Medina might sit a really nice trip. I don't know if Pioneer of Medina wants a mile and an eighth. We've seen better performances at a mile and 40 yards, a mile and a 16th. I don't know if the distance is what this Todd Pletcher trainee wants. So I went with a little bit of a screwball and Happy American. I understand that Happy American probably has never run a race fast enough to beat the A race from Art Collector or from West Willpower. I'm just thinking that this race might set up nicely. We could have those two on the lead. I think Treasury is going to be on the lead. Happy American is a deep closer. I'm tossing out the last race. I don't know exactly what the problem was. I like Neil Pessin. He's really good off these short layoffs. And I thought the previous two races were really, really good. He's a big price, and I'm going to take a shot.
All right, so you and I are looking in the same direction, not the same horse, but we both think there's enough speed that somebody can close. I actually think Treasury and West Willpower are the speeds, and Art Collector will try to sit the trip he did in the Pegasus just in behind the leaders. And the only reason I'm not putting Art Collector on top is that I'm convinced that his last race was the best race he's at least run in a long, long time, if not the best race in his career. And I usually don't like to play horses following up those gigantic efforts in their next spots because they're usually a shorter price than they should be, and very rarely do they run that race again. Like you said, if Art Collector does run that race again, he's probably going to win the race. I, like you, am going to take a shot that he will not run that race again. You mentioned Pioneer Medina and Happy American. I think that Mineshaft race on February 18th was very, very good. I think I picked Mr. Wireless that day. I think he has another big shot tomorrow in the New Orleans Classic. But I'm going to put Pioneer Medina on top simply because I trust Luis Saez more than maybe a few of the other riders in the race. I'm going to use Mr. Wireless as well. They were only separated by a head in the Mineshaft, both their horses that can come from off the pace. I think Mr. Wireless is more of a mid-pack deep closer, where Pioneer Medina probably wants to be mid-pack forwardly placed and might get first run. Pioneer Medina for me, Happy American for Dave. We're both going to take horses out of that Grade 3 Mineshaft to be major players in the New Orleans Classic tomorrow at Fairgrounds. 10th race tomorrow at the Fairgrounds is the Grade 2 Muniz Memorial Classic. These are four-year-olds and up, going about a mile and an eighth on the turf. They've been saving the turf course this week. Didn't run on it yesterday. Didn't run on it today. Hopefully keeping it in good condition as we get ready for these big stakes races tomorrow at Fairgrounds. And the 5-2 favorite on the morning line is the Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational winner, Atone.
Yeah, I thought Atone was going to be somewhere in the 9-5, 2-1 range in here. And quite frankly, I still think Atone is going to be at that price. The 5-2 morning line for this Mike Maker 3 Diamonds connection seems to me to be generous. The race last time out is terrific. It's a really, really big effort, but I don't think it's out of character. I think that's kind of who Atone is. A repeat of that race is going to win this race, or going to come very, very close to it. Atone is a consistent horse, a horse that can be versatile, can run on the lead or just off the pace, and I think has a big chance in here. I would say the same thing for Two Emmys. I think Two Emmys is at the right track and at the right distance, in very, very good form right now, won this race last year, and is logical and makes sense. And I don't think 3-1 is a crazy price on Two Emmys either. Number 7, another mystery, gets Flavien Prat. May want longer, I'm not sure, but I do think there are races in his past that make sense and make him a factor in here at a little bit of a bigger price. And I think Spooky Channel has an opportunity here. Getting Joel Rosario two back at Fairgrounds was really, really good. I think it's a fairly open race, but since the odds are not swayed really, really sharply one way or another, I think Atone is the best horse. And if you're going to give me 5-2, I'm happily going to take it.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you on Atone. For the same reason that I didn't pick Art Collector on top, I'm probably not going to play Atone, but I'm going to pick him. I'm convinced that his last race is the best race that he's run thus far in his career, and I don't know if it's just the new Atone and that he's best as a six-year-old compared to when he was as a, you know, 3, 4, and 5, similar to Art Collector. But Atone has run really good races in the past as well. It just looks like he's finally put it all together in his last couple of starts. a repeat of his last race wins, and I think he's going to get some pace to run at, but I'm afraid that I'm going to get too short of a price on a horse that has more reason to go backward than forward off his last. So I'm going to pick him on top, Dave, but if I play horizontal wagers, I'm going to probably spread with the horses that you mentioned in the Muniz Memorial Race 10 tomorrow at the Fairgrounds. 11th race on the card is the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks. It's a points qualifier in the road to this year's Kentucky Oaks. Three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the main track. A field of five going to post. As we opened the show, we heard the stretch run of last year's Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, which was won by the uber-talented Echo Zulu. We thought going into the Rachel Alexandra Stakes, Dave, that we were going to have another uber-talented filly on our hands, and a filly who was going to be not only favored, but probably a solid favorite in the Kentucky Oaks, if that's the way they went, and that is the Tom Amos trainee Hoosier Filly. And then the Rachel Alexandra happened, and Hoosier Filly was 2-5. She didn't get out of the gate very well, and she really never looked at all comfortable in the race. It was really kind of a non-menacing third, beaten 8.5 lengths by Pretty Mischievous, a filly that she's going to have to face off against once again.
Yeah, I mean, there was some thought that Hoosier Filly might try the boys and could be put kind of in motion to go towards the Kentucky Derby. And yeah, the Rachel Alexandra was an ugly performance for whatever reason, excuse or not. When I first handicapped this race, I wrote bad betting race. You're not going to get a price of any sort. And then the morning line came out and the one South Lawn is 8-1. I understand that South Lawn's first five or six races don't fit with this group, but the optional claimer at Fairgrounds to debut this year was absolutely scintillating. And I understand that may not have been against this caliber of horse, but it was an 8-length win. The Fig came back very fast. In fact, from a Fig standpoint, you look at Pretty Mischievous's last race, the one in which she beat Hoosier Filly, and you look at the Allies Look last race, the Silver Bullet Day, and you look at South Lawn's last race, the optional claimer at Fairgrounds, and those three are all basically the same. They're very, very similar. And I understand that you're going to get a bigger price on Norm Cassie and Relu Gutierrez than you are Brad Cox and Luis Saez, and Hoosier Filly's name has been out there. Hoosier Filly has not run a race fast enough to beat three of the four rivals in here. That doesn't mean that Hoosier Filly's not going to run a huge one tomorrow. And in fact, if it wasn't for South Lawn being 8-1, I would pick Hoosier Filly, because Pretty Mischievous is 4-5, but 8-5 in a race that feels fairly open to me seems a little bit short. The Allies Look basically has run one big race, and maybe she's going to repeat that. Hoosier Filly was the big hype horse. The first three really looked good. I'll give her a mulligan on that last one, but at 8-1, South Lawn's last race is just as good as what anyone else has run, and I can come up with excuses for a bunch of the other races. Didn't want one turn, race taken off the turf, couple of turf races. South Lawn's last at 8-1 is too good to pass up.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And her last race was clearly better than she had run in her previous five starts. And it also is the only race that probably makes her a contender in this race, if not one of the ones to beat. I don't know if that's the new South Lawn or if she's going to regress, like especially a lot of 2 and 3 year old fillies do when they run clearly the best race in their career. At 8-1, I'm definitely not going to try to talk you off it. I'm picking Hoosier Filly on top. Listen, I've never thought she was as dominant as everyone else did. I still think she's the one to beat in this spot. I think she's capable of a lot better than what she showed last time, because I think last time, to be perfectly honest, is the worst race she's run in her career. And it's the only time that she just completely looked, I don't want to say disinterested, but just not like she was completely in the game. I like the outside post for her. Listen, I don't want to try to talk people into a filly that's going to be under bet and probably around even money or 6-5, but I do think she's better than her last race, and I think she's very logical to run a much better race tomorrow in the Fairgrounds Oaks than she did in the Rachel Alexandra. That being said, I'm not going to bet her at a short price, but Hoosier Filly for me, South Lawn for Dave in the Fairgrounds Oaks. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have one more big race at the Fairgrounds to talk about. It is the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. Couple races down at Gulfstream on their Saturday card co-features. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
There's plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park during the championship meet with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Don't miss the Triple Crown prep races, including the Fountain of Youth Stakes on March 4th and the Florida Derby Saturday, April 1st. Enjoy the races outdoors from the Carousel Club, our Feast in 10 Palms, offering a premium view of the races. For stake schedules, reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
And now, an important message from Jerry Rice.
As a career wide receiver, I've been hit hard. But no training nor practice prepared us for the devastation of COVID-19. Thankfully, there is hope. Even with multiple vaccines available, we still have to work together until everyone is safe. We all win when we unite to prevent.
For more information, visit unitetoprevent.org.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Unbridled Stone, Cavaneer on the inside. Out the middle of the track, Grindstone is closing stoutly. It's Cavaneer on the inside and Grindstone on the outside. McCarron and Bailey, here's the finish. Too tight to call. Was it Cavaneer on the inside? Was it Bailey with Grindstone on the outside? Noses apart after a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby.
Ah, the unmistakable voice of Dave Johnson on the call. The 1996 Kentucky Derby won by Grindstone, the last time that a Louisiana Derby winner went on to win the Kentucky Derby. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Of course, we've got the Louisiana Derby to talk about in this segment. Before we do, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update. Look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Tyler's Tribe to return to Oaklawn's Hot Springs Stakes. Iowa bred sensation Tyler's Tribe, away from racing for several months after twice bleeding from respiratory issues in races in November and December, is being pointed the inaugural $200,000 Hot Springs Stakes for three-year-olds in a mile, April 1st at Oaklawn Park. Co-owner and trainer Tim Martin said March 23rd. Tyler's Tribe is unraced since a third-place finish in the $150,000 Advent Stakes for two-year-olds at 5.5 furlongs December 9th at Oaklawn. Multiple stakes winner then received approximately a month off after he bled through the diuretic Lasix during the race. Martin said he also bled and was eased in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint November 4th at Keeneland when competing without Lasix. Quote, he's been great all along, Martin says. No problem. Last time, clear, clean, no blood, no mucus. I'm working him on Lasix, obviously, but he's been good so far. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Blood Horse Daily has the largest reach of any industry electronic newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up now. Dave, I know we're going to probably talk about that Hot Spring Stakes as part of the Weekend Stakes Preview prior to it, but I'm going to tell you this right now, not knowing anyone else who's going to be in that race. I will be looking to bet against Tyler's Tribe. I love this horse. I have a Tyler's Tribe t-shirt. Obviously, I got to see him up close and personal for a lot of his success up at Prairie Meadows as a two-year-old last summer. But this is a horse that I'm not sure is going to be as good as a router as he has been as a sprinter. In his final start last year at Prairie Meadows, they actually had permission from the stewards after the 6-furlong race that if he was crossing the wire first, they could continue out for another quarter mile because they wanted to see how he would do going two turns and going a mile before deciding whether or not they wanted to go in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile on the dirt or the turf sprint on the turf. And he slowed up tremendously that final quarter mile. And after that, they decided that they wanted to keep him sprinting, even though he was trying the turf for the first time. So I find it a little bit interesting right now that his first race back off the layoff is going to be two turns going a mile. I don't know who he's going to be in against. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to bet against him, but I'm looking to bet against him.
Yeah, I think he's an incredible story and an inspirational story and all of those sort of things. On the racetrack, I likely will be looking at alternatives as well. But we'll see what the race ends up looking like and you know, one of those horses that I think we all cheer for.
Yeah, and by the way, the Hot Spring Stakes, which is a new race for three-year-olds going a mile, the Hot Spring Stakes used to be a sprint race for older horses at Oaklawn Park, which has now been renamed the Whitmore because Whitmore won it 4 years in a row. Okay, let's get back to the matters at hand. In the featured race tomorrow at Fairgrounds is the featured race every year at the Fairgrounds. It is the Louisiana Derby, a Grade 2 event with $1 million purse, three-year-olds going the Preakness distance of 1 3/16. This is the first of the 200-point Kentucky Derby qualifiers. The winner gets 100 points, the runner-up gets 40, third place gets 30. So very likely, Dave, the winner and the runner-up in the Louisiana Derby will have enough points to qualify for this year's Kentucky Derby. We've got a full field of 12 going the 1 3/16, and Brad Cox's Instant Coffee is the morning line favorite.
Yeah, and Instant Coffee to me is not Forte or Arabian Night, but in this instance is a very deserving favorite. I'm not telling you the Instant Coffee is going to win or has to win, but if Instant Coffee doesn't win, I can come up with 6 or 8 other options in this race. I'm really interested in the pace, Bobby. Does it look to you like there's nobody that wants the lead?
Well, I don't know if there's nobody who wants the lead in here, but there doesn't look like there's anybody that absolutely has to have the lead in this race. There are a few horses in here who maybe reluctantly have found their way to the front. I would guess number one, Shopper's Revenge, by virtue of the inside post, will try to go. I mean, he went wire to wire two starts back. Then he broke slowly last time out at Oaklawn and rallied from like 11 or 12 lengths back to finish second. Curly Jack is another one who I think wants to be forwardly placed. He's made the lead sprinting in his career, but I can see what you're talking about. It doesn't look like it's going to be a rocket ship pace.
I think there are a lot of ways you can go. I think Instant Coffee's last race, a repeat of that, is likely a win here unless someone steps up pretty significantly. But you can kind of go right on down the list and have reasons to like horses. Sun Thunder for Kenny McPeak, I thought last time out, ran a really good race. I don't know if Sun Thunder wants 1 3/16. But certainly looks viable off of the last couple. Todd Pletcher's horse, the $800,000 Uncle Mo King's Barnes, certainly has not faced anything like this, but is 2 for 2 and clearly has some ability. The 11 JC's Road for Brad Cox. I mean, last time out faced Arabian Night in the slop and didn't run well. 3 back at Churchill was in the slop and didn't run well. The 3 races on fast dirt all look pretty good, including that Gunrunner 2 back was really, really good. The 2 horses that come out of that optional claiming race on February 18th, Dennington and Cagliostro, they both ran very fast races that day and I think are viable. I picked Instant Coffee because I can't really pick among the other horses. Instant Coffee looks to me like the most likely winner in here. I think 2-1 is a relatively fair price. If you told me who was going to be on the lead, I would absolutely play that horse because I think it's possible there aren't that many horses that want to be up front and maybe we get kind of a soft pace. But I think Instant Coffee is the most likely winner, but this race is going to tell us a lot about not just Instant Coffee, but about some of these others.
So I'm going to pick a horse that I think could show some speed, although it doesn't have to be on the lead. And number five, Disarm, is where I'm going in this race. He's a gun runner out of a Tappet mare named Easy Tap, who I think just won one race in her career, and that was at Remington Park. But the breeding on both sides sounds like route breeding to me, and Disarm really, I think, stepped up with a big effort trying two turns for the first time last time out, finishing second as the even money favorite to Two Eagles River, a horse that I know I thought had a big shot that day. Disarm running second that day, picks up Joel Rosario. I think there's no reason he can't improve second time going long and just the fourth start of his career. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think he needs a whole lot of improvement to be a major player at a big price in the Louisiana Derby. So 10-1 on the morning line. I'm going to pick Disarm. I respect Instant Coffee, but I think Disarm has more upside, and I like his price 10-1 in the Louisiana Derby. Let's jump over to Gulfstream. They've got two stakes on their Saturday card tomorrow, the first of which is the Texas Glitter, $100,000 on the line for the three-year-olds, sprinting five furlongs on the turf, field of seven going to post here. And number five, Dr. Osaran, is your 8-5 favorite.
Yeah, I couldn't get much further than the two favorites. Dr. Osaran for Christophe Clement and Jose Ortiz has improved every single race and taken big strides forward each time. Last time out in an optional claimer at Gulfstream, a five furlong turf race, ran a really, really good race as a tepid 3-1 favorite. And Crispy Cad, very similar. Last time out was a 3-2 favorite and an optional claimer at Gulfstream. First race in a long, long time. First race in North America. And ran a solid second, kind of gave way at the very end. I expect Crispy Cat to be much tighter Saturday. That being said, I don't like horses coming back in only 2 weeks. And I understand that Crispy Cat is probably ready, having been off a long, long time. I just trust Clement and Michael Dubb and Jose Ortiz and Dr. Osaran for me.
All right, so I'm going to go a little bit off with number six, Gordian Knot, a really good Pennsylvania bred who is trying the turf for the first time, but being by social inclusion out of a put-it-back mare, I think he's bred maybe to be better on turf than he is on dirt, and he's run really well on dirt. He ran really well on a synthetic surface at Presque Isle Downs two starts back. It looks like he's been working pretty well for his return to the races. To me, if he's as good on turf as he has been on dirt and synthetic, he's going to win this race, and he's 5-1 on the morning line. So Gordian Knot, for me, the selection in tomorrow's Texas Glitter Race 4 at Gulfstream. Moving forward to the 10th race on the card tomorrow at Gulfstream, it is another turf sprint, and this is the Melody of Colors. This time, the three-year-old Phillies taking center stage, also five furlongs on the grass, but a full field. In fact, 13 were entered, 12 will run. And hard to figure out who's actually going to be favored in this race, Dave. Number five, Sassy Nature, is 7-2 on the morning line. She is the morning line favorite, probably because she looks so good the one time she tried five furlongs on the turf.
Yeah, I like Sassy Nature in here, and I think 7-2, the morning line price, is a bit of a bargain. I thought plus 250, 5-2, or plus 300, 3-1 was much more likely. The bottom line is Sassy Nature has the top figs. Last time out, first turf and first against open competition, and she ran a career best. She's got the speed in here, and there is other speed, but I think Sassy Nature's got a really big chance. I'm a little bit interested in Just a Care, number six, first time versus winners, but a horse that is well bred, and I thought last time out ran a pretty good race. Might sit a really nice trip just off the pace. There are a bunch of them in here that have not run on the turf. Miss Vivian and Bedtime Story and Clay Soldier and Flor de Sombra. Any of those could be good on turf. My Sweet Affair, number seven, I thought ran a good turf race debuting last time out, and will wheel back and run against winners here. But to me, Sassy Nature just pretty clearly has the best resume. The last couple races, the last three races are all really good. Like the turf, like the open competition last time, I think Sassy Nature has a big chance.
Yeah, I don't have any knocks on Sassy Nature. I wish Joel Rosario was still aboard as he was last time out, but he is not riding at Gulfstream Park tomorrow. So he's got bigger fish to fry other parts of the country. I went to the 7 My Sweet Affair for the simple fact that I like that she was able to not only win first asking, but able to pass other runners while doing so. She's another one who does not get her her rider back, as Irad Ortiz is riding elsewhere too. So Amiciel Jaramillo rides the George Weaver trainee, who was bet like a good thing first time out. She looked like a good thing that day. She's now facing winners for the first time. But if there is a lot of speed in this race, and on paper it looks like that's going to happen, I like the fact that My Sweet Affair has shown that she can pass other rivals. So 5-1 on the morning line. Don't know if we're going to get that, but hope we do on My Sweet Affair in the Melody of Colors. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to dive into that Turfway card tomorrow, highlighted by the Grade 3 Jeff Ruby Stakes. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Sam Houston Race Park's live thoroughbred meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023 with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. We're looking forward to March 25th, Texas Champions Day. Make it to Sam Houston Race Park as the best in Texas. Compete in 7 exciting stakes races. The 9 race card starts at 1 p.m. at Houston's Best Bet. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Shecky Green. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But here's Animal Kingdom with a big run. Animal Kingdom has come from left, and now he's in front into the stretch. Decisive moment, fighting hard. Those two together. Taptown takes third. Up on the outside, Twin Spired is gaining. Animal Kingdom just ahead over Decisive Moment, but it is Animal Kingdom now drawing away. He'll win the Vinery Racing Spiral by 2. Decisive Moment second, then Twin Spired Photo for 4th. Taptown on a late run by Beachcombing.
The unmistakable voice of one Mike Battaglia on the call of the 2011 edition of the Grade 3 Spiral Stakes, which is now known as the Jeff Ruby Stakes. It was once known as the Jim Beam. It for 1 year was known as the GalleryFurniture.com Stakes, but it's been the Jeff Ruby for a few years. And Animal Kingdom not only won the Spiral in 2011, but of course went on to win that year's Kentucky Derby as well. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Dave Freeman. Let's look, Dave, at some of those big races tomorrow at Turfway Park, starting with their 10th race on the card. This is the Kentucky Cup Classic, $300,000 on the line for the four-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth on the synthetic surface at Turfway. 14 were entered, 12 will run. And Dave, the morning line favorite is number 9, Santine, who has never raced on the synthetic surface at all, let alone at Turfway Park, but he has been working very steadily at Turfway Park, and his turf numbers would make him the one to beat.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question in all of these races at Turfway. You've got horses that probably have not accomplished as much, but they are comfortable at Turfway, or at least on synthetic. And then you've got these shippers who have excellent resumes, but may not have the experience at Turfway or on the synthetic going. Santine is a quality horse. We saw that in the Arlington Million, which was run at Churchill Downs last year. We saw it at the Turf Classic on the Derby undercard last year. This is a horse who's made $1.5 million in 10 career starts, and this is the first race since November. If Santine shows the A effort, takes to the synthetic, and runs his best, I think Santine will win. I think a B effort puts Santine in the mix against these horses. But what are we to expect? Number 11, a bond for Todd Pletcher and Irad Ortiz, is a little bit in the same situation. No synthetic form. And I am not aware that a bond has been working out at Turfway. So this could be a show and go and see how things go. I'm also curious if he prefers a longer race. The recent form is only so-so, but I think it's a worthwhile gamble, and 6-1 is a nice morning line. Number 10, King Cause, is dropping a horse that does have synthetic experience and good synthetic experience, won this race in 2022 at 19-1. Number 8, Ocean Atlantique, two big races on the synthetic each of the last two times, but stepping up in here. I thought 3-1 on Santine was reasonable, Bobby. If you give me that price, I'm going to take a guess that he'll like the synthetic, or at least be okay with it. But if you want to play against because the unknown, I completely understand that.
Yeah, and the thing is, when the synthetic tracks, you know, first started becoming a thing in the States, one of the selling points was that horses who run well on the turf will also run well on the synthetic track, and vice versa. So when races come off the turf, you won't have nearly as many scratches if the horses were heading to conventional dirt as opposed to synthetic. I don't think there's anything, you know, that's 100% guaranteed. And so we don't know what Santine is going to do getting over to the synthetic for the first time. As you mentioned, Dave, his A race is better than these. And I like the fact that Brendan Walsh has had him there at Turfway Park for the better part of a month and a half or so now, and has worked him at least five times on that synthetic surface. And it looks like he's working just as well on the synthetic as he was on conventional dirt at Fairgrounds and Churchill prior to that. Doesn't mean he's going to run that though. Maybe he'll be even better on synthetic than he has been on turf. I'm just picking him because I think he's the best horse, but it's a race that I'm not looking forward to playing straight because there are way too many question marks in the race. Race 11 on the card is the $300,000 Bourbonette Oaks. These are three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on that synthetic surface. Field of 11 going to post in this race, Dave. And number 5, Botanical, for Brad Cox and Chris Landeros, is the 2-1 favorite.
Botanical's race last time out was sensational. I don't know whether Botanical was running against a great deal in that one, but a repeat certainly would make Botanical not only a player, but probably a winner. That being said, the first four races of Botanical's career are all of the fine variety, at least as speed figures would tell us. There are some wins, a couple of big wins. In fact, Botanical has won three consecutive races by something like 21 or 22 lengths. So he's running, or she's running, really, really well right now. I'm not sure of the level of competition, and I'm looking for a bigger price in here. Number 8, Flashy Gem, is another Brad Cox horse. Landero sticks with Botanical, so you get John Velasquez. The one race on synthetic last time out was pretty good, albeit not as good as the race we saw Botanical run on the synthetic. Number 2, Believe is Brendan Walsh and Irad Ortiz, first time in this country. And Bolivie has been running against boys. She broke her maiden in August in France, and since then has run against boys five different times. Does not have a win, but has a couple of runner-up performances. Has been running on synthetic, has been running against reasonably good horses, and finished second in back-to-back races across the pond. AG Bullet is another one that I think has a chance in here. First time on synthetic, shipping from Southern California. The two turf tries are really excellent, and I think if that translates, AG Bullet could have a big chance. I also think Renegade Rebel on the Rail is not impossible. $700,000 Nyquist, trained by Mark Cassie, is really taken to the synthetic. Three races on the sin are really, really good. So you can go a lot of different ways. I was searching for a price, Bobby. I ended up with the Irish Invader, Bolivie.
All right, so Bolivie for you. I went with Renegade Rebel, who, as you mentioned, has really taken to the synthetic surface since switching to it over at Woodbine. Hasn't raced since the end of November, but Mark Cassie does just fine with these extended layoff types, and this one looks like she's been working pretty well at Cassie's farm in Florida for her return to the races. I think she's going to get out and go from that inside post, and if she doesn't encounter too much early pressure, I think she has a big chance at a nice price. She is 6-1 in the Bourbonette Oaks. Moving to the 12th and featured event, the Grade 3 $700,000 Jeff Ruby Stakes for the three-year-olds, going a mile and an eighth. Once again, 200 Kentucky Derby points on the line for the eligible runners, 100 for first, 40 for second, 30 for third, and so on. Rich Strike didn't win this race, didn't run second in this race, finished third in this race last year. That was barely good enough to get him into the Kentucky Derby field, and he got into the Kentucky Derby winner's circle shortly after that. We've got a nice field gathering and a lot of question marks here, Dave, because the horses who look like they're going to take the most money are horses that we don't know are going to be able to handle the synthetic surface. Number one, Major Dude, and number 10, Two Fills.
And as it pertains to Two Fills, I'm not so sure this horse is all that. We see a horse who has three wins in seven career starts, one at Colonial, one at Canterbury, and the win at Churchill Downs in the street sense. When faced with the better Derby contenders, wasn't close to Forte back in October, and was an okay second against Instant Coffee on January 21st, came back in the Risen Star, didn't run great. Two Fills has the looks of a good, not great to me. Major Dude for Todd Pletcher, I look differently at. Their turf races are very sharp. This is a horse that was bred for $35,000 and sold at auction for $550,000, a horse that they clearly have high expectations for. But the question about the synthetic is a real one, and I don't want to take too short a price. I thought this race was pretty wide open. Number 8, Congruent. Loved the sin last time out. First 8 races probably aren't good enough, but did they find something at Turfway last time out? Number 7, Bluebirds Over, is 2-for-2 on the synthetic. Didn't run great last time out on turf at Gulfstream Park, but the synthetic form is very, very good. The 11, Point Proven, Todd Pletcher, John Velasquez, a gun runner, going to get a big price. Wadsworth for Brad Cox, a Godolphin horse. The two synthetic races are really, really excellent. I ended up with Fantastic Again for Wesley Ward, the 4 horse. Another one who just kind of came to life on the synthetic. I had it down to Fantastic Again and Wadsworth, looking for a price, looking for a horse with synthetic experience. And I think Fantastic Again's last race against stakes horses is better than Wadsworth's last race, which came against optional claimers. But I'm going to fool around with both of them.
All right, so Fantastic again for Dave. By the way, that's James Scully's best bet of the weekend. Fantastic again in tomorrow's Jeff Ruby Stakes. I'm going to take the Battaglia winner, Congruent. As you mentioned, Dave, his previous eight starts don't look like they'd give him much of a chance to win this race. But whatever he found last time out trying synthetic surface for the first time, he was great in the Battaglia, coming from far back behind a fast pace to win easily, going away by over three lengths. To me, a repeat of that race, and everyone else is going to have to run better than they have if they want to beat him. He's 5-1 on the morning line. I'm going to try Congruent to get back-to-back wins on the synth and take the Grade 3 Jeff Ruby. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got one race tomorrow at Oaklawn to look at, one race tomorrow at Santa Anita, and then a big one at Sunland Park on Sunday. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No. I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Penna brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Turns in front in the Sunland Derby, and it's Gary Stevens and Firing Line just toying with him. Firing Line well ahead, and it's a battle for the miners. Tisner RJ wears the moon on the outside, but this is an absolute exhibition of class and an amazing talent. Firing Line is going to just go around like a hand canter and hits the Kentucky with so much promise, full of ammunition. Firing Line by 15 lengths. Second Wheels the Moon, and then came Pain and Misery, and Tisner RJ.
That was Robert Geller, I think, eating the microphone during the 2015 call of the Sunland Derby, where Firing Line ended up getting the job done. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman. Three more races to look at, Dave. We're going to go to Oaklawn Park for their featured race tomorrow. It is the $150,000 Purple Martin for the three-year-old fillies sprinting six furlongs, short but sweet field of six. And we finally get to see the second career race of Socially Selective. She was really good last summer at Saratoga in her lone start. I don't know where she's been since, but a repeat of that race is going to make her the one to beat.
Yeah, she gets first time Lasix, and as you noted, she was terrific first time out. Now, it wasn't really expected. She was 13-1, and we know Bill Mott tends to be better second time out than first time out. Mott is really good off a layoff. He is really good first time Lasix, and Socially Selective has a big chance here. Two of the horses that Socially Selective crushed came back to win. They didn't throw together great figs, but they won nonetheless. One was another Bill Mott horse. One was a Chad Brown horse. I thought this race could go in a few different directions. I thought number one, Classy Bridgette, was a possibility in here. beat Kyiv Life in the Mud on February 11th, won three straight races, two of the three pretty good ones. No real big figs for her. I thought Kyiv Life, who was the chalk last time out and lost to the one horse, was okay, not great, maybe needed the race. It's Cox second off a layoff. There are some races back at Keeneland in October that would fit very, very nicely in here. And the six, Topsy for Steve Asmussen, two for two, a horse bred for only 5,000, but resold for 225 at auction and has run quite nicely. I mean, both wins are convincing ones. I thought you could play any of those four horses, the one, the four, the five, and the six. I get that Socially Selective was just uber impressive first time out, but again, was 13-1 in that race. Where has the horse been since August? I took Kyiv Life. I just thought maybe needed that last race. Horse always gets bet. They obviously thought a lot of this one, and I'm going to give it her a shot tomorrow.
Yeah, and she raced on a muddy track that day. It's was obviously wet all day today at Oaklawn. Hopefully it dries up for tomorrow's card. I picked Socially Selective. I think Socially Selective, Kyiv Life, Topsy, those are the ones. I think the race is playable because I don't like number one, Classy Bridget. And it's hard to say that because she's raced five times and she's never run a bad race. Three wins, two second place finishes to her credit. But to me, it looks like she's consistent, but consistently just pretty good. If somebody runs a good race, a stakes caliber type of race, they're going to beat Classy Bridget. I don't think she's run a race yet that's going to win the race tomorrow. So that's why I think the race is playable. I'm against Classy Bridget. I went with Socially Selective, but I would use your pick, Kyiv Life, and I would use number six, Topsy, as well if I am playing horizontal wagers at Oaklawn Park. Moving out west to Santa Anita Park, their featured race on the Saturday card is the Grade 3 Desert Stormer for the fillies and mares, going six furlongs on their main track. Just a field of five, and the 6-5 favorite is Phil D'Amato's Elm Drive.
Yeah, I didn't think this race came up particularly strong. Elm Drive was trained by D'Amato and ran pretty well, and then was sent to Michelle Nevin to run once at Saratoga and once at Pimlico, and didn't run particularly well in those races, and now is back in Southern California, where probably the best career race was either at Santa Anita back last May or at Del Mar in August of 2021. And a performance like that would give Elm Drive a big chance in here. At 6-5, I don't know. I mean, Elm Drive certainly makes some sense. I thought Dance to the Music, number three, who was second in this race last year, though it was only a field of four, was reasonable. That was her best career race. Last time out, she came off a layoff and ran on the turf and did not run well. I don't think she's a turf horse. I think she wants to get back onto the dirt. And we see Mark Glad do good work second off a layoff and turf to dirt and all of those sort of things. Number five, Stella Noir. I had a difficult time figuring this one out, going from turf to dirt, but has really been running on turf for quite a while. A couple races this year, and I don't know, eight of them or so last year. But there is some decent dirt form hidden back in 2021 or so, and I think Stella Noir is reasonable and possible in here. Of those three, I didn't want to take 6-5 on Elm Drive, so I went to Dance to the Music.
All right, Dance to the Music for Dave in the Desert Stormer. I think you were very kind when you say that this race didn't come up that tough. I think it's really one of the worst graded stakes fields I've seen in a while. Four of the five runners I'm not sure could win allowance races if they were in there. Number one, Violent Runner, just won a $40,000 claiming race in her last start, and she's 4-1 in this race. The two, Half Past 12, has been losing against allowance fields. The three, Dance to the Music, your top choice, tried the turf last time out, was beaten 11 lengths in an allowance race before that, but other than that, she was, you know, miserably beaten in small stakes and allowance races on the dirt. Stella Noir is really a turf filly that's getting back over to the main track. Elm Drive is the logical favorite in here. She is a graded stakes winner, winning the Sorrento back when she was a two-year-old. She's good, not great, and she's very inconsistent. I think by default, she has to be the one to beat in this spot, but she's probably going to be 4-5. I'm not going to play her at that price, but I'm going to pick her to win the Grade 3 Desert Stormer tomorrow at Santa Anita. One Sunday stake to look at, Dave, and it's the biggest race of the year at Sunland Park. It is the Grade 3 $600,000 Sunland Park Derby for the three-year-olds, going a mile and an eighth. Seven were entered. We found out yesterday from Millie Ball, who's married to Tim Yakteen, that Fort Bragg would not run in the Sunland Park Derby, but instead be pointed next weekend to the Florida Derby at Gulfstream Park. So we're just going to have six of them run. And the two who are going to get most of the money at the windows are number six, Hard to Figure, and the four, Henry Q.
Yeah, I thought it was sort of a three-horse race, and I was going to pick Fort Bragg to beat Henry Q and Hard to Figure, but Fort Bragg's not running, so maybe I'll think about Fort Bragg next week at Gulfstream Park. Henry Q for Todd Fincher won the Mind That Bird Derby by 14 and three-quarter lengths, previously trained by Doug O'Neill, and was not even facing the best maiden competition in Southern California and was doing, you know, kind of ho-hum okay, and then just took off like a rocket in the race at Sunland. I don't know if we are to expect that going forward or if that was an aberration. Certainly like a horse that likes the track, and Henry Q liked the track on February 28th. Hard to Figure is a Bob Baffert horse who has not been transferred, which means is not Kentucky Derby eligible. But last time out, only lost to Newgate by a neck. That was first off a layoff. The previous races, the races last year, were of the okay, not great variety. The win in the Capote was good. The other three are kind of fair. I picked Hard to Figure, but I really think it's a two-horse race.
Yeah, I think it's a two-horse race as well, and I picked Hard to Figure simply because I think that he's coming out of the best races by far. That second-place finish, beating only a neck to Newgate when it was all the Baffert runners in the race, the four-horse field, I thought was very, very good, actually. And I also like the fact that, listen, this is a horse that's not eligible for Derby points. He is still trained by Bob Baffert, so he's shipping there to run for the $600,000 purse money, not to try to earn Kentucky Derby qualifying points. And Flavian Pratt ships out with him and has only ridden this horse once and, by the way, finished far back when he rode this horse. But he saw enough with this horse for some reason to decide that he was going to leave Southern California and maybe not go to other places where there was more stake races and more money on the line, to go to Sunland Park and ride Hard to Figure in the Grade 3 Sunland Park Derby. That's good enough for me. Hard to Figure, I think, is the class of the field, and I'm going to put him on top in the Sunland Park Derby. 12 races in the books, Dave. Time now for the HRRN Best Bets.
This is the HRRN Best Bet.
All right, Dave, where are you headed?
Well, on a day where there are several races with smaller fields, I went for about the largest field we have, the Melody of Colors at Gulfstream Park. The reason I like big fields is you can get betting value. I think Sassy Nature is better than that field. And because there are 12 horses, the morning line is a very reasonable 7-2. I think if Sassy Nature does anything remotely like we saw last time out in very, very similar circumstances to this race, Sassy Nature is a winner. So I'm going to go with Sassy Nature 7-2 to win the Melody of Colors in South Florida.
All right. Race 10 tomorrow at Gulfstream Park is that Melody of Colors. I'm going to go to the race we just talked about. I think it's a two-horse race in the Sunland Park Derby. I think there's actually a chance that Henry Q is going to take some solid money against Hard to Figure. And I think Hard to Figure is just too hard to beat in the race. I think he's coming out of the best races. I think he's got the best rider by far. And I think if we get close to that 2-1 price, I don't know, we might be closer to even money, 6-5, 7-5, something like that. But listen, if I think it's a two-horse race and I'm getting even money or more on the horse that I think is clearly the one to beat, I'm going to take Hard to Figure to win the Sunland Park Derby. He's not going to get any Kentucky Derby points, but he could get the winner's share of the $600,000 purse. All right. Want to remind everybody, another big day on the Equine Forum tomorrow morning. Our good friend Mike Penna, the Baron of the Backstretch, going to be talking to trainer Cherie DeVoe, Todd Fincher, Kenny McPeak, among others. Kurt Becker's stroll through racing history. Looking forward to hearing about Shecky Green. Plus, I Ask, They Answer with Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin. Calling All Three-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift. And all you come to expect every week on the Equine Forum, presented by Twin Spires, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on HRRN. Want to remind everybody, next week for our First Bet Racing Show from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, where Dave joins me every Thursday afternoon, we are going to be preempted on Sirius and XM due to opening day Major League Baseball. So if you'd like to listen to our show next Thursday, you're going to have to do it online, horseracingradio.net. You can just hit the Listen Live button and hear us live. And by the way, let everybody know that we're going to be talking to Pete Aiello during that First Bet Racing Show next week, Dave. And, of course, it's Florida Derby week, so Pete's going to give us his insight on the Florida Derby and maybe some of those other big races on the Florida Derby undercard. Traditionally, closing weekend of the championship meet at Gulfstream Park, Pete Aiello going to join us on the First Bet Racing Show next Thursday afternoon in the 4 to 6 p.m. time frame Eastern Time. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Friedman, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great weekend at the races.